This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Start your engines.
Race fans, you are tuning into the only motorsports show in San Diego. Your host, Dave Stahl, and the racing school teacher, Brittany Sandoval, are taking you to the green flag, covering everything from your top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Strap in, it's Checkers and Wreckers on Racer Radio.
All right, folks, welcome. You are listening to Racer Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This hour is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you've got a cashier issue and you can't get a cashier, well, just give a phone call to Southwest POS, 800-540-2149. They'll come out, take a look at your facility, and they can hook you up with a self-checkout system, and you won't have to worry about trying to hire anybody. Walmart does it, Home Depot does it, and so does Costco. Give Jeff and Mark a call. And one of the bonuses I like working with them is the system won't cost you any more than a cash register would cost you. And if you're open, they're open. 7-day, 24-hour day service at Southwest Point of Sale. Also, San Diego Gear and Axle. If you have a driveline issue, Steve is the man. Two-wheel, four-wheel, all-wheel, doesn't make any difference. Specializes in drag racing, but he can do anything and everything with a drivetrain. Go to sdgearaxle.com. And another great Napa Auto Care Center called Dragonfly, 4055 Pacific Coast Highway, 619-704-2280. Go to dragonflyauto.com, make an appointment, and everything that's done on your vehicle is guaranteed for 3 years, 36,000 miles, clear across the continental United States. All right. We got the Baconator in. Yes. Brittany Sandoval.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
Yes,
I think I made a few people jealous on Facebook. That was not my intention. I just wanted to give you finally.
Oh, did Michael Schwartz get all twisted?
Yeah. I don't normally give you a public thank you.
Acknowledgement.
Yes. And I thought I might.
Hey, and what did I tell Mike? Get an address.
Yeah. He just wanted me to share.
I know.
Which is tough for me.
Yeah. So did you have breakfast? Just change subject. So not the thick. You like the thinner cut?
Correct, but I learned how to really like the thick.
But if you have a choice, you'd rather go with the thinner.
Correct.
Okay. Well, because I don't know.
I love it all.
Have you ever been to the website? Have you ever been to the website?
I have. I saw that now that they have a new skis pate.
Would you do that?
Yes. And real quick, because I want to get to my legend to the left, but somebody I work with, Dina Weiss, she's a counselor at my school. She saw the post and she goes, Newskis turned me from a vegetarian back into. Yeah. She's
no.
like, I was a vegetarian and I guess it's in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
She has family near Newskis and she had the bacon and she's like, and then I was no longer
a vegan. Ah, that's so much fun.
All right,
who you got?
Well, you know,
I even know this guy.
Well, Dave, for our listeners, I am going to lean on some professionals to introduce today's guest because I think that Paul Jimmy Johnny and the artist formerly known as Bruce can handle it. So, Brendan, roll the tape, please.
Well, Donnie Hansen being ever so careful as he takes it through the rockers, slower riders all around him. A mistake could end the day for Hansen at this point. It's still not over yet. He heads for the catapult. The white flag is out, and there is one lap to go for victory for Donnie Hansen. Around onto the main straightaway. He heads for the super berm. Donnie Hansen well out in front. Ward is in second place. Now Hansen through the Himalayas, still running smoothly. He knows now that he is very, very close. Speaking of close, look at this battle for third place. That's O'Mara, number 9. And Schultz begins to push alongside. Schultz moves ahead. Now Schultz is around O'Mara and in third place. O'Mara drops back to fourth. So Schultz, a terrific move, but now Schultz off the course. O'Mara by on the inside. Schultz back to fourth. O'Mara in third, but Schultz moving once again. Schultz right in behind O'Mara. He's there and could move. Now it's Donnie Hansen out in front. Ward in second, O'Mara in third. And there is Hansen. One more turn to go. He bounces his way into that final turn, points for the catapult, and Donnie Hansen wins the Anaheim Supercross. Jeff Ward comes across the line in second place. And there's Johnny O'Mara, who has finished third. But the day belongs to Donnie. Tommy Hansen winning his first Supercross ever. Jeff Ward, the second place rider, congratulates Donnie, and the crowd of over 70,000 here congratulating our winner. The official order of finish, Darrell Schultz fourth, Johnny O'Mara third, Jeff Ward in second, and Bruce Jenners with our winner.
Congratulations, Donnie. Thank you, Bruce. Got it right, had a little bit of trouble at the start, had to work a little bit for that lead, but once you got it, you were impossible to catch.
It took me a while to get loosened up and get the corners dialed. After that, I felt pretty good, and it's made my move in.
It's got to help this season, starting off this well.
I'm really happy with it. I hope it continues.
Yeah, well, congratulations to you. Best of luck the rest of the season.
And
that's,
it did.
That's when Bruce was Bruce.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's when Bruce was Bruce.
Yeah.
See, this is why I love her as much as I do. I had no idea she was going
to
put that together.
I got goosebumps. That,
me too.
That was my first Supercross wins. That was a,
you had
that,
to be blown
that,
away.
That was, yeah, that was a start at the season. And as it ended, I won the series premature, race early. Where unfortunately I went back to Europe in between the race. There was a long break. It was like 2 months between the second to the last race and the last race.
Wow.
And I got hurt, so I couldn't race. So if I hadn't won the championship prior to, I may not have gone to Europe.
Oh.
What if you don't mind me asking, what injury put you out?
I fell on my noggin.
Oops. So there was something in there after all.
There used to be. Yeah, I bruised my head, bruised my brain.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So unfortunately, that was the end of the season, and I did that back in Europe, practicing to get ready for the Diz Nations the second year.
Because the first year,
I was part of the team that went for the first time for the U.S.
Yes. I'll be done.
And won the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
when's the last time you heard that segment right there?
It's been a while. I don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's cool. They talk about him a lot. I posted it on my Facebook page, the whole race, or most of the race. And it's really fun what they talk about. And It's interesting.
Yeah.
They talked about how you were not consistent until, and then you were starting to show signs of consistency. They talked about the mental and the physical aspect of racing and how it's one of the toughest competitions out there. And
that season was my third season. I just started racing professionally. 1980.
How old were you?
For that race, I was 22.
Okay.
And Brendan, I want to thank him. He's part of this. I reached out to him earlier today to get that clip.
Yeah.
And he actually called and said, should I shorten it and take out the duel between second and third? And I wanted to keep it in because you're good friends with who came in third, Johnny, you and Johnny. And he was a teammate and a friend, correct?
Yes. Johnny and I, we lived together. So I signed the first year that was 1980. Johnny signed in 81. So 81, I was going to buy my first house out in Canyon Country, California. And I said, Johnny, you want to rent a room for me and we'll train together? We'll push each other.
He said, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's reminding me of Marty Smith and Tomahawk.
Right.
Friends. Well, Rick Johnson and who was it? Jeff Stanton.
Okay, Jeff Stanton.
Yeah.
But that was not uncommon back in those days that you guys would buddy up and then practice together.
No, it wasn't. Well, Johnny was a 125 rider. His premier, his class was 125 outdoor. Mine was 250.
250. Yeah.
Supercross, we both rode 250s.
Who'd you ride for?
Dave Arnold, American Honda.
Okay. Well, I love how he grins when he says.
Well, can I actually insert this? I see that in your
Who
first.
Are you?
Oh, this is Brendan here, the producer behind you.
The
oh, by the
Sorry.
Way, that's God.
Yes, God's talking.
That's God.
I noticed in your race results in 1979, July 14th in L.A., you actually rode a Can-Am in that race.
That was my first Supercross race.
Right.
Were you a privateer at the time?
I was a privateer.
Okay.
And race I raced my first race, like I said, 79 in the Premier class. And, I finished seventh place, first privateer in the, in the Premier class. So that was a start. So the combination of that, and I was doing really good locally in Southern California, earned me the ride with Gunnar Lindstrom from Honda, who was the team manager before Dave Arnold. He, they got a hold of me, and we agreed to sign with Honda, and then Dave stepped in a year or so, or whenever it was.
Yeah, you got to work with him.
I guess, I guess it was 1980 was the first year I remember Dave being.
Didn't we have a guy by the name of Arnold on?
It just last week?
Yeah, she brings me in some pretty astounding riders from Dave's. And these were the ones I used to watch when I was a kid.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
Dave is real big. Big in the industry. Big in the industry, as well as Roger DeCoster.
And a great guy. Yes. An absolutely great guy.
Yeah, the best.
All right, we got to take a break. Much as I hate to.
I know, because I still have two hands holding up two.
You got some wine?
Oh, my gosh.
Let me see if I can find some.
All right.
This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody ups it. Nobody treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Whether you're buying, selling, what has made a difference, El Cajon Ford will take care of you just like family. 1995 or 1595 East Main Street. Go to ElCajonMotors.com for all your automotive needs, including service, because they'll work on every car in your driveway. Is anybody calling in?
No.
By the way, it rained.
I know. I did want to say they made the right call. I know. It was a tough call.
It was tough because it didn't rain up until...
Yeah, it hit us at 9:45, and I thought, that is right when I'd be pulling on to the track for the main.
So they're smart.
Yeah, they made the right track.
They put safety first.
Yeah.
Much as you didn't like it.
No. Well, I appreciated knowing a day ahead instead of packing everything up, driving all the way up there, and then, we're rained out.
And just think what you would have had to do today if you'd have got up there and your car would be muddy.
Mud, and I have an open trailer. Everything would be a wet. Everything would be a mess. So I appreciate the timing. Yes, Brenda?
I was going to quickly ask, did they have the race car swap meet still this morning, or no? Was that also canceled?
I don't know about that.
That I don't know.
Okay.
Just checking. I did want to say the next race is scheduled for April 27th. And I also wanted to say that they did race in Kern, and it was a two-dayer national. We had the Velasquez family call and talk about it a few weeks ago. And they knew the rain was coming, so they did the A mains Saturday morning. Like they pushed everything up.
Yeah, so
there was really no break. And the depth, it's hard to explain the depth of the dwarf cars at Barona, but this puts it in perspective. The Pro Division at the national level was won by Darren Brown, driver.
Of course.
The Vets were won by Robert Peters, another Barona driver. And this is the Nationals. Everybody who races a dwarf car is invited. And the Fast Dash was won by Tobiasen, a Barona driver.
Wow.
So when I show up, I'm racing against all winners. Like, there's not one or two best drivers.
No pressure.
There's 8 to 10 best drivers because they go to a national.
No
and
pressure.
They win everything.
No pressure.
And, you know, and I know I'm running with the biggest boys out there. It's just, that's why I don't like people coming to watch, because they're like, oh, why are you in the back? And it's like, because everybody's a winner at the national level. I'm in a big pond. But congratulations, they represented us well.
So
now two. Before going into the commercial break, if anybody out there, listeners, heard a little birdie, that was Becky. I wanted to acknowledge, she's mad at me now, but she has a lot of knowledge. And
we haven't stuck a mic in her face.
Yeah, and when we were in the green room, you brought up a really good point, and I wanted to bring it up. The other reason Brendan and I decided to keep the longer 2-minute segment was just so the listeners would understand the depth of riders that our guest was racing on just his third season. You know, he was up against Ward, and Bob Hanna wasn't even mentioned because he was so far behind you in that race. And, you know, just the depth of all these mega legends that
and
you
teams,
were racing.
Large teams.
Yeah.
Not, were you, you're riding for Honda, but you were fairly new riding for Honda at that time?
My third year.
I signed
with Honda. My first year was 1980. So.
Okay. All right.
But he was racing Brock Lever and Johnson and Hannah, you know, like...
The who's who.
Yeah. So when you win that...
But did you even care? Or were you just racing?
I was out there...
Racing.
Doing the best I can.
With what you had.
Yep. Racing the track.
Right.
Racing the track.
And I think if any young rider coming up ever needed a good piece of advice, that's it right there. Don't worry about who you're running against. Worry about the track.
Right.
I've read that you believe in preparation as well.
Preparation is huge. Mm-hmm. And mentally and physically, it's what you got to do in motocross and mm-hmm. supercross. Mm-hmm. As far as training off the bike, on the bike, you know, back in my day, in the early 80s, the outdoor motos were 45-minute motos. So they're 40-plus two laps versus these days they're 30-plus two laps. So mm-hmm. there's, you know, another 10 minutes. Makes a big difference mm-hmm. for...
People have no idea how long 10 minutes is.
10 minutes is huge.
Yeah. It's like a lifetime.
Yeah, so...
Where's the white flag?
Eating good, getting the vitamins you need for your body to perform at the level it needs to be.
But how many were doing that back then?
I know, I was just thinking in the 80s, were they...
80s, well...
Were they doing that?
But, I mean, how many people really were on that too. Kind of a regimen?
Well, the Bob Hannas, for sure. He was the strongest mentally
and physically.
He was...
Oh, both.
He was... If you're going to race Bob Hanna and you think you have a chance against him, then you better be on your game. So, you know, training... Physically, mentally, you know, is huge. Because mm-hmm. Bob, there's no one stronger than him.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you know that going in? I mean, did somebody tell you this is what we should do? Was Honda behind your training, or was that something that you just knew you had to do?
Well, you know you got to do it.
Because you know you get tired.
Yeah.
And you know the only way to stop being tired is you got to be in shape.
Right. So you work the body off the bike as well as on the bike.
Right.
You know, we put in our motos, Johnny and I, in between weekends, you know, during the week. And we used to make a joke, you know, you don't eat no sweets because sweets, it will slow you down half a second a lap. Can we afford that? So we kind of made a game.
So if you went to eat a donut, you'd say,
no.
Can I give up on this half a second? No.
No, no, no. You know, eat the fruits and vegetables and the lean meats that you need, the carbohydrates that you need.
Right.
And,
so you're mentoring and coaching.
Today?
Right, yeah. I mean, he has been for decades now. Is this part of your mentoring?
Anymore, I went from doing big groups. I get riders from all over the world, mostly within the country at the whatever state I'm in, you know, and you know, teaching in our country. And the locals, you know, they find out I'm coming, so they sign up. And it's more, when you have 20 riders, it's, you know, you're limited on time. So mm-hmm. we spend 6 hours a day on the track. And for 2 days, so again, you're limited. So we're working mainly on the techniques on the various parts of the track.
The physical aspect is pretty much up to the individual rider, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Well, you know, and then the private stuff could get more in depth. Mm-hmm. You know, you can spend more time. You know, you got time working with one individual and his specific needs, and he's having problems because he's getting tired and. You kind of talk about what he's doing for mm-hmm. off the bike training, what he can do on the bike as far as doing his motos, and just kind of, you know, see what he's doing and how he can help that.
Watch and see what a rider's doing and what he shouldn't be doing or what he should be doing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you have the eye.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not everybody has that. I just want you to know, not everybody watch a rider. It's kind of like Dale Earnhardt being able to see the wind. Not everybody can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Being involved in this riding and racing thing has been my whole life. You know, I started off young, started riding when I was about 7, and then racing locally in Southern California, and then spent some time over in Florida on the East Coast doing the winter ramp. Well, that track just kicked my ass. You know, and when I came home after spending 3 months of testing with Bob Barker, was the team manager for Can-Am before Honda, and testing and riding every day on the sand track where the whoops are 2 and 3 foot deep, you know. After whoop, the sand's real deep and real rough, and on the way home after 3 months, I just knew when I got back home to Southern California, no one's going to beat me.
Because you've been...
because I was so strong. I got so strong physically and mentally from being back there for 3 months. And so between that and then racing my first Supercross, like we talked about, in 79, got me a ride from a Honda.
Right.
The start of my ride. So it was a... let's see, how did it work? It was a one-year deal in 1980. And I finished in the top 10 in the Supercross in the Premier class. I finished 8th place. Outdoors, I injured my ankle and didn't finish out the series, so it wasn't so good. But they saw something in me that they came back at the end of the year and go, we want to hire you for 2 more years. Mm-hmm. And so I signed with them for 2 more years. And where I went into the outdoors and finished in the Supercross, I finished 6th place in the Premier class, the 250 class, 6th. And then the outdoors, I finished 3rd behind Howerton and Hannah. A distant 3rd. I was half a lap behind, but I was still ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
In the off time, Johnny and I, Omer and I, were living together. We trained. We worked our butts off in the off season to get ready for the first race in Anaheim. And you heard Anaheim, as you know, I won that, and then won the second race in Seattle.
It was not luck; it was skill.
So, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Greg Hancock?
No, I don't think so.
Well, his son is coming on. And he is a, but he does speedway.
He did flat track, by the way.
Yeah, he does speedway. So his dad was a world champion, and now his son.
I recognize Hancock with the speedway and the world championship. Yeah.
Well, this is his kid calling in.
Okay.
So let's hold that thought right here on Racer Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Welcome back to Racer Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, 18700 Lake Paris Road up in Paris, California. Go to parisautospeedway.com for all your automotive schedule that races at Paris. And let's give a shout out to Black Forest Automotive. If you have a BMW, Porsche, or Mini, and you're looking for a good quality shop, maybe go get out of the dealerships, and then again, you may want to go racing, because Black Forest, that's their expertise. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. Call them at 858-292-1192. Tell them I sent you. All right. We got a special guest on. Yes. What are you yelling about?
I can't wait. I'm going. I'm going to see our guest next week. I'm going.
Where?
To Paris Raceway. I'm going to see this guest. I was just getting excited.
All right. Well, hey, we got Wilbur Hancock on the line. Hey, yes. Wilbur, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Yeah, well, we got a guy in the house, Donnie Hansen, who knew your dad, if you can believe that.
No, I didn't know I knew of him, yes.
Because he was a big legend.
Donnie was more motocross.
I knew Bruce Penhall.
Yeah, you knew Bruce Pennell real well. There you go.
So but this is about Wilbur right now.
Yeah, this is about Wilbur. So Speedway, huh?
Yeah, Speedway has been in my blood since I was a young kid and growing up watching my dad. There's no other adrenaline rush that kind of gets me motivated to keep going and with certain things. So it's something that's just been a part of my life since a very young age.
You just don't like brakes. That's your
right?
problem.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They only slow you down, so why do you need them, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, all you have to do is just let off the gas. It'll slow down plenty.
Oh, no.
So how long have you been running?
So I've been racing since I was 7 or 8 years old. We were out in the IMS at Pirate Speedway out in San Bernardino.
Okay.
That's where I pretty much grew up racing with Billy Hamill's Speedway Academy. And then ever since then, I moved over to Europe and raced in the junior scene there for a bit while my dad was racing professionally. So that really gave me the competition edge a bit because it's so competitive over there.
Oh, yeah.
And then once I got onto the 250cc, I raced the rest of my career over here in the States. But, you know, with plans to move back to Europe.
Yeah. Did you ever race your dad?
I have never raced my dad. And he said that. He said that he'll never let me race him. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, right.
Might be something we need to make happen.
It'd make a nice little Father's Day gift.
Yeah, there you go. That's a nice. It's an interesting gift.
So let me ask you this: Would you give it at all and try to beat him?
I would definitely have to try to beat him because if I did, and I would never hear the end of it.
Yeah, because if he knew you let him win, oh my God, Christmas would be ugly.
Oh yeah. The other thing is I don't know if it would be much letting him win. He can still get on a bike and rip it pretty good.
Yeah, I know. That's funny. So where are you at in the standings this year?
For now, you know, we're just about to get the season started here. I finished last year off in 11th in the U.S., and this is my first year in the pro class. So, I started off the year pretty good with around a 6th or 7th place.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, I had a couple mechanical difficulties and
right.
just put me, you know, small. It's the small things that matter, but we're looking to eliminate those type of factors and really push forward to making a really good season this year.
So what kind of bike do you ride? What manufacturer?
So it's a GM. It's an Italian company. Okay. They're specifically designed Speedway engines. There's only two other manufacturers really right now, and it's Jawa and a Swiss engine called GTR.
Yeah.
But 500cc single cylinder GM is pretty much the standard engine right now.
Yeah, Jawa's been around for almost as long as Speedway.
Yeah, Jawa's, you know, it's at one point we thought that there was going to be a little bit of like a rebirth of it, but it just seems like the GM right now is the most competitive engine. You know, it's the best engine on the market.
Right, exactly. Sponsorship, who keeps you on the track?
Keeps me on the track. I've got Monster Energy, NGK spark plugs, All American Racers, Troy Lee Designs, Scott Goggles. Man, there's too many to keep, you know, to thank. But 150 Racing, Stua Frames. Yeah, there's a lot to keep off the top of my head. But,
well, see, it's our job to make sure you at least try because.
Yeah, totally right.
If you send this show to your sponsors. I've actually had people call us back and say, I forgot somebody. Can we call in again? But they all know. Yeah, totally. They all know. And
yeah,
I mean,
sure. And it's,
your bike's not that so big. People. How many stickers can you possibly have on
that
bike?
Well, it looks like they're all over his jersey.
Oh, that's
his
right.
Jersey is very decorated.
Yeah, we have a lot like over our race suits. It's a little bit different in motocross, obviously, because motocross you can wear a two-piece kind of deal, but we wear like a pretty much, you know, like a NASCAR racing suit. So we're able to put a lot more sponsors on than what different types of, you know, motocross jersey manufacturers are able to do, obviously.
Gotcha.
So we can see you race next Saturday, correct?
Yes, next Saturday at Paris Speedway. I hope it's going to be a big turnout. You know, this is going to be WTP Promotions' first race with Speedway, obviously, at Paris, and there's a lot of guys looking forward to this one. It's a big purse for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a strong lineup, and there's going to be great food and
music too.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, music and a pretty awesome Grand Marshal as well with Rex Staton coming out.
All right. Oh. And just so people know, it's not the auto track. It's a motorcycle track, which is about
8 to 10 miles
away.
It's so on Burton? Wait, I should look this
up.
So
you have to.
Yes, it's on Burton Road.
On okay. Burton Road. So make sure you go to the right place. Otherwise, you'll be all lonely sitting at Paris Auto Speedway waiting for the Speedway
bike. Is
bikes.
That the fairgrounds?
No, that's
where the car track is.
Yeah.
And then this place is, it's got its own little, how big a track is it?
I'm not sure on the exact size, but it's a fairly bigger track compared to what we usually ride on, you know, with Industry,
right.
Raceway, and Costa Mesa Speedway. They're more like 8 mile tracks, but these are a little bit bigger, which causes more speed, you know, faster passes and a bit more of an adrenaline shock, obviously.
Faster passes, yeah. I like.
So with a full suit versus a two-piece pants and a shirt, does that suit have anything in it in the event you come off the bike, or is it thin like a motocross or a super bike?
It's fairly thin, but on your elbows and knees, there's extra padding.
Ah.
Just because we do tend to lay the bike down a lot in case someone crashes in front of you.
Right.
And if you need to make that quick decision, you know that you're not going to bang yourself up too bad.
Yeah.
But we wear full protective gear underneath it.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah.
And you said you're racing in the pro class?
Yeah, in the pro class, the D1 class.
Is this your first race as a pro?
No, this will be my second season as a pro.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, this will be my second season.
So no butterflies?
No, I mean, obviously, first race of the year, no matter what, you're going to have a bit of butterflies, but...
always have butterflies when you're lined up on the starting line.
Yeah, you can't... Yeah, if anybody tells you they don't have butterflies, then they're not lined up.
Yeah, it's like if you don't get the butterflies, there's no way that you really wanted to do it, right? It's the whole point of it is to... It's racing, right?
Yeah.
You want to win.
Is your dad going to be at the track?
No, my dad is actually a coach over in Europe at the moment, so he's been coaching a lot of top guys overseas along with some teams over there as well. So he's been traveling a lot, but I've got my own little crew coming with me.
Cool.
Right on.
That's going to be so much fun. How do people follow you around social media-wise in case they want to stay on top of you?
Yeah, for sure. On social media, Wilhan117 on Instagram, and then on Facebook, I am Team Will Racing 117.
All right, very good.
Is that what you go by, Will, not Wilbur?
Yeah, I can go. I go by Will, Willie, Wilbur. We got a few different names.
I'm going to be listening for you. I'm going to be there next Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm heading up there.
I'm looking forward to it.
You taking Steve?
He's talking to me.
He's going to.
I'm bringing my crew chief and his longtime riding buddy, used to race as well.
You going to get pit passes?
I might get hooked up.
Yes, you need to get hooked up.
I've already talked to Aaron Fox.
All right, very good. Get yourself in there.
I'm really excited. I can't wait to watch you guys. It's beautiful.
If you've never seen Speedway, if you've never seen it's ballet.
Yeah.
Until they fall off.
Yeah, I don't like that part.
Then it's ugly.
I know spectators kind of like it, but I don't personally as a racer.
You know what I don't? You know what bothers me about Speedway? And I don't know if you guys have fixed it.
What?
The bike just takes off.
Well, they have they're connected to it.
The thing,
right? You have something on your wrist.
Will, do they not still take off?
It's rare that they do now. We've got pretty darn good technology.
Oh, good.
I have seen them take off, but I tell you what, to be on the wrong end of the stick of a bike taking off is not very fun.
No. You want to tell them what happens when people call us and then they race?
Yeah, you're going to love this, Will. We have a 97% to 98% win rate. If you call, the next race you enter, you win.
Well, I hope to keep that streak going.
Well, and we tell everybody, if it happens, you're more than welcome to call in. You don't have to wait and get in line.
I'll be there to witness.
Yeah, you'll just have to let us know, and you're more than welcome to come in. So what time does racing start?
Racing starts at, I believe, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay. All right.
I thought it was six. Well, that'll give you. We better find out, Wilbur.
I thought it was six.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Will.
That's practice.
You know, yeah. Will's having a sandwich. He goes, oh, where are they all going? All right, buddy. Well, hey. Oh, you going to ask why he has the number he has?
Yeah, did I see like a 117 or something?
Yep, that's 117. Is there a reason for that? Was that your dad's number, or is it just one you picked?
No, so my dad was number 45.
Okay.
And then so I, when I first got my Pee Wee 50 going up, it had the number 17 on it, and I just liked that number. And then when I moved up to the first step of the speedway bike,
right?
I had to have a three-digit number, and then so I chose like 117.
There you go.
And it's just stuck with me for the longest time. And I've come across other riders that have had the same number, and they're like, "Oh, well, it's my dad's birthday, or it's my birthday."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, well, it's hard to argue with them, right?"
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty tough. All right, Will. Hey, this has been an absolute joy. Say hi to your dad, and next time you chat with him, and Brittany will be in the pits.
We'll be cheering for
She'll
you.
Be the one jumping up and down all crazy, so you won't miss her.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much for having me on.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to see what Donnie Hansen has to say. We're going to talk his girl into coming over here and talking. What do you think? You hold her by the ankles.
No, I'm not forcing it on her.
You're not going to force it on her? Oh, look at the knuckles on her. She'll take you out, dude. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
What are you doing?
Watching out for our legend.
Are you playing producer?
I'm just making sure he's happy when he leaves.
Okie dokie. Did you get him any M&Ms?
I don't have any. You have some?
What kind of a producer are you?
I'd rather have some wine.
I know.
Well,
that is,
follow her. That she's
has
got
been
to
a
show
you. Running theme since we met.
So, where do you guys live?
Colorado, or well, when we're here, Elsinore.
Oh.
What's the winery? Odofo?
Oh, you should go to Moto Dofo in Temecula.
You ever been to Moto Dofo?
I don't know how close that is.
Yeah, we've been there.
With all the motorcycles on the walls?
Yeah. We had a, what was that, interview with Larry Huffman. And,
and the
first Diz Nations team to go.
Really?
With Roger and Dave. And
wow.
You know, my teammates, Laporte, Sun, O'Mara.
Wow.
And myself.
That's funny. I had a listener. Are you ready for the mud, the blood, the guts? Wasn't that Larry?
Larry Hoffman. I heard he was in the hospital.
Larry Huffman?
Huffman, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw something with his foot. He's got problems with one foot or something. It had pins in it. So he's got issues with that foot.
Because I've interviewed him. I can't tell you how many times. He's the best.
Yeah, Larry is the best. He was the best back in the early 80s.
And he gets so animated.
Yes.
I mean, you'd end up standing up and you don't even know what
what's
heck
going
he's
on?
Talking
about.
Yeah,
I'm
right,
excited.
Right. He's just that good.
Donnie Hansen's on Bob Hanna like a dog on a piece of meat.
So you remember that, huh?
That's funny.
That's
so
funny.
I've been wanting, because my ignorance is going to show. Where did you get the nickname Hole Shot Hansen?
Actually, it was when I was riding Can-Ams. The Can-Ams had a rotary motor.
Ooh.
They hauled ass.
Torque.
I just, you know, the combination of timing the gate and quick response and releasing that clutch quick and coming out with good RPMs, if I didn't get the whole shot, it was right there. So.
And you had to have it adjusted properly, too.
Because
between the clutch and you, it's almost like you and the clutch had to almost be close to one-on-one, otherwise you wouldn't get a whole shot.
Yeah, everything's got to work in sync. So it came from when I was riding Can-Ams, and all of a sudden I come to the shop, Colby Honda. I wrote for Colby Honda, and because they sold Hondas and Can-Ams. And I had whole shot on the back of my seat. So that's from what I remember, that's where it started.
But did anybody, like, did an announcer give it to you?
Yeah, I thought maybe Larry called you that or something.
Or did any of your competitors?
They would, no. No, they didn't, but they would, you know.
Well, somebody wrote it on the back of your seat.
Yeah, well, you know, the announcers, whether it was Huffman or whoever it was, you know, could say it, mention it over the PA.
Sure, sure.
But that's where it started from.
How many bikes do you have at home?
None.
Oh.
No.
Are
you
one?
Just saying that because Becky's here?
No.
Because there are other guests.
I actually have one bike. It's Josh's, my son's. He raced at the MGM in Las Vegas as an amateur. They brought in a 125 amateur class against the 450 pro class, where Carmack won that night in the 450 class, and Josh won the amateur.
Oh.
So he wanted to keep that bike. He was sponsored by Thousand Oaks Yamaha, and it was a 125 T-stroke. So that's the only bike I have in the garage. Otherwise, all my bikes, I never have owned one, really.
I was going to say, they weren't
mine.
Bikes. Yeah.
Honda wouldn't give me a bike when I retired, so I don't have no bikes.
Wow. There's a place down in...
I'm wrong. I have a few mini bikes for the kids. The grandkids when they come around the property, because we have 5 acres, and they love tearing it up on the property.
Yeah.
So I got a few PW80s.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
His story quickly changed.
Yeah, well, he had to think about it. Well, those aren't his race bikes.
They're not my bikes.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Did you really help Tomac with his starts there, whole shot?
Tomac, I did. When he was first year on Yamaha, a couple years ago, I went out to the Yamaha test track and watched him, and then started videoing him, and then
did he know this was happening?
Well, he did later,
because
I went over to him. We'd be starting. He come back from doing a start, and sitting there with the bike turned off, and I go over there and I point out to him what he's doing, and I'm. You know, the things like the gates drop, and you can practically count to five before he releases the clutch. And I got it slow motion. I go,
let me show you.
What are you doing?
What are you thinking about?
So we worked that clutch. We got that clutch where it needed to be, and how to, you know, work on his response and everything. And we cleaned that up and made a huge difference. Another one of the other pros was Kenny Roczen. You know, it's same thing with him a few years ago on at the Suzuki track, and so between the two of them, they normally get a pretty good start.
So they're forever indebted to you, because if you hadn't shown them, they would have never known.
Well, you know, I can't say that, but
sure you
can. We can say it, Dave. Hey, Dave, you want to say it again?
Okay, I'm gonna say it again because who was gonna tell them? It wasn't their competitors.
No, but their team, if they don't know what they're looking at, you know, I just have an eye for things.
Did I notice? Did you notice I picked that up?
I did.
Yeah, because that's what I do. I mean, and I've been a wannabe racer my whole life. I got as far as go-karts, and I didn't get any farther than that because I didn't have the money or the wherewithal and what have you. But, yeah, and I studied it.
I do want to talk about something.
All right.
You know, the start of my career, the start of my amateur days in motocross, you know, came from somebody that became a real good close friend. He lived in Chatsworth, California. And he found me, and on a tryout, I borrowed a 250, because I was racing TT and flat track.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad didn't have any money, so we had an opportunity to do some motocross, and if it worked out, then I had somebody who was going to back me, and so I tried it, borrowed a bike, and won my first race, 250 novice class, and he kind of took me under his wing, and racing around Southern California, racing the German bike, Makos.
Oh, Makos, yeah.
Yeah, they were the best bikes back then.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it was great. Every few months, he'd buy me a new bike and take us racing.
Yeah,
it
broke your heart.
Can we get a name? We keep hearing he.
Mr. Ron Smith.
Ron Smith.
Yeah, he's passed now. Him and his wife, but not at the same time. But but his kids are they're great. You know, I love those kids.
Right.
You know, we're like.
They raced as well, right?
Yes, as amateurs, they raced as well. And now they're real successful business people. Sure. But as kids, yeah, between the kids and cousins, you know, their cousins, we all raced.
Oh, yeah.
And I was part of the family.
That's I was just going to say that. Well, wouldn't you say that's what it's all about? It's being part of the family. They took you in, you took them in.
Yeah. So
look at the fun times you had.
So it was until I got picked up by a manufacturer. And then from there, you just get the cycle news every week and read about me. We still, you know, talked every week. You know,
do you have any magazines of yourself?
Not here.
No, but you have them.
Yeah.
Okay, good man. Good. Now you got a tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This tape, man.
Yeah, you got this tape.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, yeah. Ms. Brittany.
Well, that Anaheim that we was listening to at the beginning of the show here, I have that too.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, when Bruce was Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the funniest part.
Yeah,
I have
there's
to
another
say.
Guest we had on over a year ago where I brought in a picture of Bruce interviewing.
Yeah, interview. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Interviewing the writer.
Who's it's like, this?
Oh my lord.
Yeah, it's the former Bruce. Oh, how times have changed. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah. No. Two strokes to four strokes to bigger jumps to the bikes are.
Would you have liked that? It has the course itself has changed. Do you think you would have liked that?
I would adapt just like everyone else as long as I could, you know. But that was shit. That was some 40 years ago when I used to race, and
it was a different motorcycle. It was a different.
But yeah. You're still working. You're still in the industry.
Yeah, I stay in the industry and just backing down a little bit. You know, between the wife and I, we're starting to do a little bit of traveling.
There and grandkids.
Go see some family in Texas or come out here to California and see some grandkids. I love those boys of mine. They're into the baseball, and I just, it's unreal how far they've come. And the youngest one, he's six. He's just starting. But the older one that's nine, he's been in it for a few years. And that 1 year difference is amazing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, his dad was the coach for both of them in the Little League. And he's, you know, right now with the younger one for Colt, he's the coach. So he plays a big part of them. Getting into this, and anyways, it's great being part of that.
Anybody want to get into motorcycles, or are they staying on baseball?
Well, Cade, the older one, he rode for a little bit. He still has a bike or two, you know, a couple 50 cc's, but let's keep him in the ball. There's ball, the ball, you make some money in the ball,
yeah,
a little easier on the
body, and you won't get as hurt,
right?
Easier on the body,
exactly. Well, buddy, I cannot thank you enough. Another epic show. Thank
another
you
legend. Another living legend we've captured.
And thank you, Dave.
Yeah,
thank
well, it's our me. Pleasure. And like I said, anytime, you know, you're always welcome to come on. You just got to talk to Smiley here.
Next time, there better be a bottle of wine.
You're darn right. I'll make a rule of that.
He's committed to this wine.
All right, folks. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.